Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this is Merrick Larwood. Hello, Merrick.
Hello, film lovers. Oh, and also hello, David.
Thanks, mate. I'm a film lover. I count myself in that group.
That's really good of you.
Thanks.
And there's no police sirens today.
No, that is because we have moved location to Merrick's Place, as it's officially called.
In North Muswell Hill, and this is the Sunday, the only day of the week there's not heavy building work going on.
Oh, that's good.
Three houses at the back. They're properly levelling a whole hill of cement down.
Well, you kept telling me how there were no sirens and no noise, so I invested in small building works just behind your flat.
It's going to carry on for a year.
That'd be great. That's right.
That'd be really great. Thank you. Anyway, we're not here to moan about...
No, we're here to talk about films. And there have been some alright ones coming out again after some stinkers of blockbusters. You've been to the cinema this week?
I went to cinema to... it's a summer holiday, so the kids' films are out. So I was the strange man going by himself.
The one the mums look weirdly at.
The mums say, there's a man in the hat there... just don't sit next to him.
What's he doing with his hands? Where are his hands?
I have to sit the whole film, both my hands above my head, and just to shout repeatedly, I'm safe. I went to see Inside Out at the Muswell Hill Odeon, which is now the Muswell Hill Everyman Cinema.
Is it good?
The change is incredible.
Really?
It's just brown.
Oh.
It's been painted brown, and there's a bar. And there's more rucksacks, so that's it.
More rucksacks?
No, rucksacks, not rucksacks. I meant, what are they called? But I think you have hacky sacks, but I've definitely
got... Beanbags?
There's a weird area of beanbags around.
In a cinema?
Yeah, in the upstairs bit. They've taken the carpet up and they haven't put any down, so you can just see the cement floor.
Cement floor and beanbags. This is a weird place, with brown walls.
Basically, what's happened is that the Everyman went, do you know what? We've got 1 week to refurbish this before we lose any money. Paint it brown.
Yeah,
that's at least...
That's our brand.
Well, and also, good for stains.
Very good for stains. And they're a stain-filled place.
And what's the sofa you're sitting on?
Yeah. It's not that stained, is it?
No, it's brown.
It's brown,
yeah. That's why, because it's brown.
It's brown. Inside
it's
Out.
Pinned out by Brown.
By Brown. It's Inside Out's a new Pixar film.
Yeah.
It's already entered the top 50 films of all time.
So I was actually doing, if you've been listening, our IMDb top 100 game, I was killing two birds with one stone
by
watching this.
What's the story?
I saw the trailers and I thought it looked annoying.
Yeah.
The story is, it's the imagination and the thought behind this film has to be commended. It is, if someone was to explain psychology and emotions to a child, is almost the perfect way of doing it. The story is, there's a girl, she's about 11 years old or something, I don't know, around that age.
She's a child.
It's difficult to tell with children, especially when they're computerised graphics.
Absolutely, because they just don't age as quickly.
They don't age and they don't move their face in the same way as real children.
Yeah.
And so I didn't
technically know. Bart Simpson's in his 30s now, isn't he? In his 30s or 40s. Yeah, so I can't tell.
She might have been, but I guess that she had parents, though. She was quite... She was moving from Minnesota to San Francisco.
Okay.
And...
sounds quite good.
Do you remember the cartoons, like the numbskulls and things going on in your head?
Yeah.
There was an old dandy cartoon where people would have all these... people controlling your head. The
Once Upon a Time Life was the one I watched. Did you ever see that?
No.
Where every part of your anatomy was anthropomorphized. So there were wise guys in your brain, and then there were like the white blood cells that killed bacteria and stuff in your bloodstream were like X-wing pilots kind of thing.
Okay.
It was fun. Anyway.
The idea is not a completely original idea, but the way I've done it is amazing. So the first character we're introduced to is the first emotion, which is joy. And the feelings a child has comes through, and depending on her day, they have certain emotions like anger, there's
fear.
And anger, fear, disgust, sadness, and joy. So and from these, occasionally when something miraculous happens, there's a core memory which forms the core emotions.
Right.
And outside the hub of where these characters exist to control, take control.
It's basically like the bridge of the Enterprise, isn't it?
Yeah, and outside are these islands which almost sort of make up the personality. So there's that family island, the girl's into hockey, there's hockey island, there's she likes messing around, so there's that sort of goofy island as well. And their personalities, and these gradually change in time, and as her emotions become more and more complex. It is done absolutely brilliantly. It's really clear, so you can as an adult, I think that's so concisely, you know, it's not a great explanation for kids of how emotions may be more complicated and not sort of pure things,
yeah.
How you grow into something else. And it was really inventive. I'd say, you know, Toy Story is inventive in a different level in terms of taking an actual the idea of a makeup of an individual and trying to explain that to children in a way that could help them as a learning device as well as a film. I thought it was absolutely incredible. So it maybe didn't have the funny moments that or the real emotion that Toy Story 2 or Toy Story 3 has,
or the beginning of Up.
The beginning of Up is incredible, but I don't think that sustains it at all. I think it's just the first bit's brilliant of Up for me.
I agree. I think Up's got a lot of really fun bits, but it's not as it's not sort of iconic as a film as others.
As a short film, you feel with Up the first 15 minutes, this is going to be absolutely amazing.
And only bit you remember from the rest is the dogs, really.
Yeah, they're talking dogs is a good idea.
It's great. Yeah,
I think it's better than Up. I think it's a really some people are saying it's a classic. Some people are saying it's very good.
Setup, remind me. We said it's not an entirely original idea. Have you seen everything you wanted to know about sex but were afraid to ask? The Woody Allen film?
No.
Because it's basically short stories in a feature-length format.
I've seen a few. There's one when he sneezes into cocaine, doesn't he? And it goes
that's right. It's Paul Simon's house.
Yeah.
Is that in that one, actually? I think it is.
I've seen bits of it.
Yeah, but this is one where it's like the helm of the Starship Enterprise, but inside someone's brain. And Burt Reynolds is the captain during someone trying to seduce somebody.
Okay.
And it turns into a sex scene with Burt Reynolds in charge inside the brain. And it's really well done. It's really funny. But that's what Pixar sort of does brilliantly. It takes ideas that may not be brand new, but makes them perfect. Really.
Yeah, I thought this was almost perfectly explained. And I think I'm just repeating myself. I was really impressed by that. And you can go and see it. Adults can go and see it. You know, Amy Poehler and Bill Hader do some of the voices. They're sort of the people who are in at the moment, aren't they?
They're the ones. So who plays the main five emotions? Amy Poehler is Poehler, joy, isn't she? The main one.
Phyllis Smith plays sadness.
Oh, Phyllis from The Office. Yeah, yeah.
Who else are the other ones? Bill Hader plays fear. Lewis Black plays anger. And Mindy Kaling plays.
Oh, Mindy Kaling. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I don't really know these.
Mindy Kaling's from the Mindy Project that Ed Weeks, who's a friend of ours,
Ed Weeks.
Yes. I really want to see this. I probably won't catch it in the cinema now, but I will go and see it because I like a good Pixar, and it sounds like they're back on form because they went through this slightly timid doing sequels to popular films. thing, and that was never their style. They were always, no, onwards and upwards, let's go and do something that nobody's seen again.
Yeah.
And if they're now making one of their best films ever, then great, long may it continue.
I don't know.
Because Monsters University was so timid as just a cash-in, really. It was just like, not enough new ideas, just revisiting.
What are your favourite ones in? Toy Story and Monsters, Inc.?
I mean, so many of them are good. The Toy Stories are all fun and really, really good. I think The Incredibles is probably the best superhero film ever made, yeah. Frankly. I have a real soft spot for Bugs Life because I saw it and watched it quite a bit when I was younger. I think it's excellent. It's one of their earliest ones.
They came at the same time as Ants.
Same year as Ants, yeah. And I think it's brilliant. I really, really like it. I've not seen Cars. That's the only one I've not seen. But no, Monsters Inc.'s beautiful idea. Again, that the monsters in your cupboard need you to scream in order to generate electricity for their world. It's sort of a weirdly brilliant idea.
And they've all been pretty good.
They have.
Ratatouille's good.
Yep.
Wall-E I enjoyed.
Wall-E's beautiful, yeah.
Brave I haven't seen. Monsters Universe. I mean, there's not... People say there was a slump. Is there really a slump?
Cars is apparently not as good. But I don't know. I've not seen it, so that's not fair.
What they got coming up? They've got The Good Dinosaur coming up. Finding Dory. Toy Story 4.
Oh, Finding Dory will be the sequel to Finding Nemo.
Oh, okay.
Dory was Ellen DeGeneres' character.
And you'll be pleased that Cars 3 is in the pipeline as well, and Incredibles 2.
Yeah, this is what worries me. I'm fine with the, you know, they're great characters, they've done all of the hard work, bring them back, send them on a new story, but they really can do better than that. Like, but it's the Disney model. Disney used to do the big event movie, like Aladdin, Lion King, and then all of the sequels, they'd spend less money and just release them on DVD. And it's like, fine, you know, but they wouldn't bother with a cinema release. They'd had a two-tier system, and I'm sort of hoping Pixar will do the same.
A lot of them sort of gradually sort of go to sort of TV programmes.
Yeah.
Like How to Train Your Dragon has sort of become a weird TV programme.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's going, I know what's going on. I don't follow kids' films. All right.
Yeah.
Just watch it because there's nothing else on the cinema.
But
it's
how many? How many Mariks would you give Inside Out?
Between eight. I'm going to give it a harsh eight.
A harsh eight? What? Why has it lost two Mariks for you?
Because I think there weren't any one real wow moment.
Okay.
It was like, this is good, this is clever.
Yeah.
And I really respect what you're doing, but I really like that sort of amazing moments. Like there are in Toy Story, there are about seven or eight. You know.
Yeah. I mean, the one that sticks out of the whole franchise for me is actually in three.
Well, when they're going in the
Yeah. I mean that felt like they went somewhere too scary for kids, and that's what was exciting about it.
I just love all the ideas that Mr. Potato putting his features on a pancake to go underneath a crack.
Yeah.
Really clever. Really, and really how they fun. Work together with the stretchy dog, and how they come over all the
or when all the lights go out, but Buzz Lightyear glows in the dark, and you suddenly, and then the whole scene is lit just by that, and it's just lovely. It really imaginative
stuff
the whole in Toy
Ken
Story.
Making friends with it, with all the with his clothes and all stuff like that. Really great. So I don't know if it hits those heights.
Okay.
Shall we read some letters out?
Yes. So Inside Out, go see it. Who has written in and what do they want?
Well, David Reed has written in.
No, he hasn't.
But you know there's another David Reed?
No, there's not.
There is. He's written in before.
He's an imposter.
David Reed.
Oh, Reed, spelt differently.
Yeah.
All right, what's he
unless want? Unless you're that desperate, you're emailing us just to...
with my spam email address.
Which is just David Reed, so we've got some emails to read out.
Okay, to be read in a South American accent, preferably Bolivian.
What's the difference between Argentinian and Bolivian?
Different countries.
No, but in the accent-wise?
I have not a clue. There will be, of course, a huge difference, because it's a massive distance, isn't it? But
If you could do that, please, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, Bolivia. Dear David Marek and Buddy, I wanted to call your attention to a great film on Netflix that I saw on the weekend. Coherence. It's a low-budget thriller bottle movie, but I thought was one of the better films I've seen for a long while.
As I watched it, it felt a little like Primer, albeit easier to follow. I'd be interested in your thoughts, but it's definitely one film you'll benefit from watching with as little prior knowledge as possible. Keep watching the films. David Reed.
Coherence.
I've not heard of it, but if it's on Netflix, then easy to track down. Like Primer, but easier to follow. That sounds like a perfect combination to me.
I mean, there is not any... It's the hardest film to follow.
Primer, yeah.
It's literally impossible.
Even after reading the Wikipedia, you
People reckon they understand it. I just think they're dicks.
Yeah.
And isn't that weird? You've had David Reed.
Yes.
And the next person to email in is Lee Wood, almost like Larwood.
Lee, almost like...
Like we're writing in ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. What's his nickname? Marek?
No, he doesn't have a nickname. He hasn't got an accent either. What should I...
Why don't you do it like a Mancunian man?
I like that, man. I like Lee Wood. Hi, guys. Just been to see Ant-Man. Really enjoyed.
That's the grammar he's used there.
Yeah, really enjoyed.
Just been to see Ant-Man and really enjoyed. Right. Superhero heist movie with a sense of humour. Would you give it 8 Lees? This bit for you, not the show.
Then don't read that bit. That's private between Lee and ourselves.
he's written a bit there. It's basically suggesting how we can get money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, thanks, Lee.
He's watched a superhero heist movie and then suggested crime, probably.
And I've got another short email from Christopher Dodge. I'll do this one as well.
What's he want?
I'll do this in Liverpool accent.
Okay.
What's your in word for Liverpool? Mine's Stephen Gerrard. Stephen Gerrard.
Liverpool.
Hi guys, just wondering if you've ever seen the British classic comedy from film Party Party from the 1980s. It was very funny and still is today, but no one ever talks about it. Keep up the good work, and I have a rival to your online film services called Cock Handle Films to watch at night only. Cock Handle Films, sorry. Kind regards, Chris. This was a reference to Turdwire.
And Flick Off.
Flick Off, our online subscription.
Online streaming services. That...
Cock Handle sounds... I mean, that sounds horrible.
Cock Handle?
No, it's Cock Candle.
Cock Candle.
But it sounds like...
Cock Candle.
Yeah.
Cock Candle. That's Candle doesn't sound much better.
This is like that Fork Candles...
Fork Candles, sketch, Cock but, Candles.
But with made quite horrible.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of Party Party.
Party Party, no. No, never heard of that film. Do you want to do a quick search on it? See what IMDb has to say. Whether we're being led down the river on that one.
British comedy about three friends in a northwest London crowd.
Right. Well reviewed.
Carl Howman's in it.
Who?
Carl Howman from Brushstrokes.
Who?
You must remember him.
No.
It's got 6.4 on IMDb.
Reasonable.
Well, let us know what you think of that. Clive Mantle's in it as well. Yeah. Caroline Quintin's in it.
Oh.
Lots of names.
Names of people who are in it. Party and Coherence. Okay, well, there's stuff for us to be getting on with, isn't it?
Which we do another one? Let's do another one.
Sure, have we got plenty? Thank you for writing in, everybody.
Yes, we have.
Who is this and what do they want?
It is Eamon Clark and he wants us to read it in an Irish accent. Irish or New York, we've all had quite a lot of New York, haven't we?
Roy, dear David, Marek and Buddy, who's not here today, I'm enjoying the IMDb game and your reviews of older classic movies. M, 12 Angry Men and Paths of Glory are all excellent films. My own current score is 26. Life is beautiful. As you both like a good documentary, I wanted to tell you about a new film that's just been released called The Wolf Pack, directed by Crystal Musselle. It's about six brothers and sister and a sister, who were homeschooled and confined to their New York apartment by their father. They learned about the outside world through the films they watched on television and decided to recreate their favourite scenes with homemade costumes and props. It looks absolutely fascinating and sounds like it could be right up your alley. I think it's available to stream on Vimeo, but it's also coming to our Arts Picture House next week and I'll be going to see it then. In the meantime, like the Wolf Pack themselves, keep watching the films. Amen.
sent from deep throats, you're not going to like it. Well, that's deeply threatening at the end there, isn't it? That's his signature.
Wow. So there's three films. Party Party, The Wolfpack.
And Coherence.
There you go.
Very good. And so, someone who enjoyed Ant-Man. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it more than I did. I thought it was fine.
Tell me about what... So you've been going through... you've been to see a documentary.
I have been to see a documentary. I went to the premiere of a documentary.
What was it like? Was it red carpet and all that business?
It was, you know, the Trocadero on the Shaftesbury Avenue, is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's all been done up. It's now a picture house cinema.
Still got the bit with the world's tallest man outside the front.
No, that's next door. That's, okay. Yeah, that's, what's it called? Ripley's Believe It or Not or whatever.
Oh, okay.
No, it's now a really nice cinema with a bar and everything.
Oh, really?
Inside. Like, properly done it up. You would not recognise the place.
Like the Curzon nice, or is it? Or...
Yeah, like the Curzon nice. Really good. And it was the premiere of a film called Death of a Gentleman, which is a documentary about corruption, sort of, but just the death of the spirit of Test cricket. Because of rampant commercialisation and money men getting involved.
Basically. This is interesting for Wolfsburg,
which already falling down that slippery slope of commercialisation. I just fear that it won't soon be the game it once was.
What, as in six people playing in a field?
Yeah, I worry it's growing too fast, and soon it's going to be 12 people in a field, and we just won't know what's happening anymore.
I need to be at least 12 people to try and compensate for the ever-increasing costs.
Yeah. But anyway, Death of a Gentleman. It's made by two sports journalists. And they spent 4 years making it, basically. And they didn't really know what it was going to be about. And they just sort of started tugging...
I saw the trailer for it. So what is it? What are they... What is it... The death of Test cricket, then?
Sort of, yes. Basically, it's the pressure put upon Test cricket, which, for those of people not in the know, and I wasn't particularly in the know, I know very little about cricket, is it's a five-day game.
Yeah.
And it's the commercial pressure to push that into a basically American-style...
So 2020 cricket.
2020.
Which is 20... Basically, they can do 20 overs, which is, you know, 120 bowls, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. And it's a far more sort of pageantry thing. And India is the spearheading of this, where cricket in India is like baseball in America. There's cheerleaders and fireworks and musical stings. And
all the players will go to India, don't they, to play in this 2020 game, and they get paid loads of money for it.
And then Test cricket is dying. Now, you may just go, oh, well, that's market forces, blah, blah, blah. But the way it's been... the way it's been done is they are, as with all commercial enterprise, they are pulling money out of remote countries where it's not so much a commercial. They're not the big ones that with the huge populations who all love cricket. And they're slowly strangling cricket in those countries in order to just make as much money as possible in India, England and Australia. And it's very interesting and it's complicated, but you really sort of get to grips with it with this film. And it is fascinating. I went into it not giving a shit about cricket. I played it a bit at school. No one really ever explained how I was supposed to play it. You just sort of put some pads on and then try and whack a ball. Mm. And I never really got into it as a kid. But I sort of fell in love with it watching this film because this film is so good at explaining why cricket is great and what was great about it. And then the sort of, you see these villain figures who are just sort of slowly pulling the heart and soul out of it to turn it into this homogenised thing like everything else. Mm. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting. And also I thought it was a really relevant documentary for general trends in the commercialisation of all things in the world, basically, as well. How people in power manage to manipulate things to just give themselves more power and slowly ignore everybody else who actually loves something or cares about something. Anyone who's passionate about it can have no say at all, but somebody who owns it gets all the say. That's and it's slowly turning everything that way.
It's terrible. I think this is good. FC United have done a brilliant thing on the football club. They've made their own... Well, look, because they did want the Glazers to buy Man United. And there's quite a few teams of
they were sort of crowd funded football team.
I support Norwich City Football Club, and our chairman Dilly Smith's brilliant. You know, she doesn't want it. Whereas I think what the Premiership has ruined football. I'm not a huge football fan, but it's just money. It's just the first top five teams, just money. You can't have a break.
Yes, and the idea of fair play used to be to foster competitiveness in these other nations who like cricket, because then every time you play each other, it's a fairer game, and therefore, you know, people are going to enjoy it more. Whereas now they just they're creating two tiers, basically, where these three teams will just play each other again and again, and these guys don't even stand a chance of ever beating them again. But it's very interesting. It's a debut documentary from two filmmakers as well, which is always interesting.
Are they going
to
make something else after this?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's taken them 4 years, and they're just starting the sort of promotion rounds of this movie, so I don't know. I don't know really. But
did it go down well? Was there some sort of finality to it, or was there a conclusion? Because it's always quite hard when you're doing a documentary to give that. Sometimes they force that sort of arc.
They followed a young cricketer's debut for his nation through as sort of the bookend of this documentary. So it felt like we had a conclusion of sorts. But no, the conclusion was one of clarity, of just like, oh, that's where it's going and how it currently is. And it puts up on the screen at the end who you can get in touch with and what you can do to try and help to stop this happening.
Great.
So it's sort of a campaign at the same time.
Well, go and watch that then. And has it got cinema release?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. But Death of a Gentleman, if you Google that, and I think the website is deathofagentlemanmovie.com, but Google it and you'll see. And all of the information will be up there. But yeah, I'm not that big into sport. I'm certainly not that into cricket, and I still really
enjoy it. What's your favourite sport?
My favourite sport is Wolfsball.
Yes. Did you know that I'm related to the famous cricketer Harold Larwood?
Have
you heard of him? Did the Bodyline series, the 19th, changed cricket by...
Bodyline? Wasn't his name Jardine?
No, he threw the ball at the opposition in the 1920s, straight went.
I thought his name was Jardine.
No.
Was it Larwood?
Harold Larwood.
Because the reason I remember, this is weird, is when The Simpsons first came out, it was only on Sky One, and very few people had Sky. My fancy uncle who lived in London had Sky, and I didn't. And he used to record all of The Simpsons episodes on VHS.
Oh, Jardine was a captain.
There you go.
But his two fast bowlers Harold Larwood and Bill Voice.
Ah, there you go. But my uncle used to send me these, and they would have weird American adverts for American TV shows in between at the top and tail of these Simpsons episodes. And so there was loads of adverts I've seen hundreds of times for shows I've never seen, like 21 Jump Street and things like that.
Really?
And
wow.
One of them was this Bodyline drama.
Yeah, so he was famous for that, and I'm related to him, and I never played cricket except once in the part of my friend.
Yeah.
I was really good. I should have been a professional cricket player.
How many people did you end the careers of with your Bodyline
tactics?
Well,
it was only a tennis ball, but I definitely hurt people.
I once bowled a ball full toss, which means it doesn't bounce, straight into a kid's box in a game at school once.
Dead?
It wasn't ruled LBW because it was his testicles,
yeah.
But he still had to go and sit down anyway.
Well, no kids for him.
It was more because I was bad at cricket than I was.
He deserved it.
Did he? Yeah. You hate that guy.
Yeah. That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's a couple of good movies, which always means we have a shorter podcast because we can't really take the piss out of things. But if you would like to get in touch and email us and have your email read out on the podcast, please do. The address is dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or you can talk to one another and just put up any post you've seen about movie news or whatever on Facebook, facebook.com/filmfandango. Or you can tweet us @filmfandango, @MrDavidReed and @MarekLarwood. Also, we do all of this for free. So if you would like to contribute towards our running costs, then go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there. And everyone who has... I need a hero.
Thank you so much. It's helped us survive it
immeasurably.
Okay, That's about it. Enjoy summer. Have a really nice time out there.
Yeah, all of you guys. And keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.